Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His good, steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
This is a morning of great joy, and you don't even know why quite yet. I want to invite the Fisher family to come forward for a minute and stand here in the front with me. Here comes a couple of them in the back. You know the Fishers. This is Lynn and Joe and their four kids. That's a handful. Come on up, you guys. And we have a special day today for a couple of reasons. The first is, Harrison, I heard it's your birthday. How old are you turning? This many, three. Today is Harrison's third birthday, and so that is a great joy. Lynn, is there some cake or something going on with
there
that?
There is cake in the Hope Room.
Cake in the Hope Room.
Monster truck cake.
Monster truck cake. So look forward to that, but hold on. There's more to come, because the Fishers are, as you know, they're a big part of our church life because they have a big family, and it takes a lot to raise four kids, and their youngest, Harrison here, is the only one of these four in their family who, in their previous church, had not been dedicated. And in other church traditions, other Christian church traditions, children are dedicated when they're very young. In Presbyterian church tradition, we tend to do children baptism. So there's a difference there. But we are in a unity of spirit and love with each other. And what Lynn and Joe and I and Pastor Chris have been talking about is how we can sort of show a sign of love and welcome to Harrison and to the whole family. Here is our church family covenants together to help them raise this youngest child into a disciple of Jesus. And so this morning we're asking a special prayer this morning for Harrison and for his life. And I'm wondering from you all, will you join me in praying for Harrison? Will you join together with Lynn and Joe in raising Harrison? Will you share your faith with Harrison? This morning, even. You're a Sunday school teacher. It's your job. It's our job together as we raise our children in the faith, and especially Harrison, looking towards him growing up into a mature disciple and making his own faith confession. So let's pray this morning. I want to ask a special prayer this morning. Join me in prayer today. Great and gracious God, you are from everlasting to everlasting. Your love for us knows no bounds. There is no wall too high or too deep, under which or over which or around which you do not come to us and come for us. We pray this day a special blessing on Harrison Fisher, child of God, known to you, member of this community of faith. Lord, I pray this day that you would bless this child and keep him, that you would put your spirit upon him, that you would show him your ways that he might walk in them. We pray as well for Lynn and for Joe, that they might model for him what it means to follow you, that they might lead him in their family life together to know you, to love you, and to serve you. We pray for each of us here today that we might also join in this work of raising children and of sharing faith. We pray for each of us in our hearts that we might be renewed this day as we seek to live lives of meaning and purpose for you, and especially in this great work of bringing up the next generation to follow you. In Jesus' strong name we pray, amen. Amen. Thanks, Joe. You never know what's going to happen when you walk in on a Sunday morning. I hope you will join for some cake and celebration in the Hope Room afterwards with the Fisher family. I'm wondering what other prayer requests might be on your hearts today. What's going on that you'd like to lift up to God this morning in prayer? Judy.
Well, we have a lot of joy this week. Edith's birthday is this week, and we're having a big celebration this afternoon. And we're really thrilled to have four of Walter's five daughters here, as well as his three sons, and some grandchildren, and I served dinner for nine last night. It was fun. It was fun. So we rejoice in that birthday.
Great. For Edith's birthday and the family fun. 90th. Rob.
Thank you. Last week was my first week, and I just want to thank you all. I've been waiting all week to get back, and I guess Matilda is doing better, Mark's mom, and we got her through a bronchitis and me through a bronchitis, and we're still meeting downstairs, and there's NA, there's AA, there's SLAA, and anybody's welcome to come on down. We feed off your heat, so thank you.
Continue prayers for Matilda and healing. Thanks, Rob. The prayers today. Dave.
I ask prayers for my niece, Rebecca. They just sent tests to, I'm not sure, Mayo or somewhere like that. She has, a diagnosis, which will be very difficult for the family and for her. Not sure what it is. Results won't be back for a couple weeks, so for my niece, Rebecca, and her parents.
Praying for Rebecca. Thank you. Other prayers. Hey, Jeff.
We're just happy to have my parents visiting from Pennsylvania today, Dan and Irma Wenger.
Welcome back. It's great to see you today. Other prayers. Jim in the back.
I'd like to ask prayers for my brother, Jim, who's in the final stages of Alzheimer's and had a near-death experience recently. Everything shut down, but I think he's out of ICU. In a step-down unit, so for Jim Black.
Thanks, Jim. We're praying for Jim Black. The prayers. Oh, Elena, hey.
I ask for prayer for my very good friend, Marilyn. She's going through a very difficult time in her marriage and also for her health as well.
From Maryland, thank you.
Let us pray. We gather this day, O God, created in your spirit, for you are a God who knows each of us by name, and yet you call us together into community to draw closer to one another in comfort and in challenge. In that spirit, we humbly lift our prayers to you. We pray, O Lord, this day for the youngest in our midst, the blessing of all your children, and for those who wait in pregnancy expectantly, for times of mystery and grace, even for days which sometimes seem to never end with our kids. We thank you for the gift of children. May we never take them for granted. We give thanks this day, O God, as we celebrate Harrison's third birthday and as we give thanks in joy for Edith's 90th. We give thanks, O God, that you are a God who calls us together from all times and places and all generations. We pray, O Lord, for those in school, learning and growing and re-entering life in graduate school and college and back to school year, for the work of our schools in educating. We pray particularly for the Cranston school community in these days. May you bring peace and security there amidst the decisions of this week, particularly for Jessica and her family in these days. We pray for those in our midst who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit. Touch them with your healing power and bring strength for the journey, wherever it may lead. We pray for Jim's brother Jim in these end-of-life times, for Terry and Nicholas, for Marcus, for Matilda, for Rebecca and her family in this time of uncertainty, for Marilyn. We give thanks, O God, that you are a God who answers prayers and provides communities of support and joy for us. We give thanks for Joe's parents here with them for this weekend of celebration and joy, for their safe travels, for the space that we provide to the groups that use this building to grow in their own journeys. We pray for our larger community as we seek to follow where you alone would lead us, to do your will in the world and in our lives, to show forth your life and hope. We give thanks particularly this day for the life and witness of Martin Luther King Jr. and for the legacy which lives on and challenges us to places of justice, nonviolence, and equality for all your people. When we look at our world, we see too many places where this is not so. And so we pray for our world, that divisions may be overcome, that all may begin to treat one another with respect as we are all created in your image, that love may triumph over hate. Remind us, O God, this day and all days, that we are ever in the midst, that you are ever in the midst of us, calling forth life and love, hope and promise, as we pray in the way of our Lord who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite all the children in the congregation to come forward and find a place here in the front. All the kids are welcome. Come on up. Find your spot. Hi. Sit on the pew, on the ground, wherever you like. Yes. Yeah. Come on in. You can sit right there, anywhere you like. Okay, a couple more, a couple more. All right. All right. Well, I brought something to show you today. I'm wondering if you can help me figure out what it is. What do you think that is? Yeah? A screen, right? Where would you put this screen, do you think? Where would this go? On your window. But why would you put a screen on your window? What would that be for? What? Yeah. So insects and mosquitoes don't come in? Yeah. Right? When do you use this? What time of year? In the winter time, like today? No, probably not. Yeah, when do you use this? That's right. So mosquitoes and bugs don't come in, especially probably in the summertime, right? Because it's hot and it's sticky and all those bugs, they want to come in. So we put up a screen in our window to keep them out. But you know, I was thinking about this, because we all use screens sometimes. It's important for our houses. But here in the church, it's a little bit different, because we actually don't have any screens in our windows. Did you know that? The church doesn't have any screens in its windows because we don't want to be screening who can come in or out, even those bugs, but maybe also all different kinds of people. We want people to come through the door and find their place to belong with us here. So we don't want to have a screen where they can't come in. Oh, that's okay, Abigail. We don't want to have a screen. So we're a little bit different in that way than our houses. The good news from Jesus is that he loves all people. He loves all of you. And Jesus is the one that we learn about every Sunday and who we pray to each week and who we learn about down in Sunday school and here in church and with our parents. So I want to pray with you as we go downstairs to classes this morning, okay? Thank you. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for your love for us and that you have no screens, no barricades that keep us from you. I pray for each of these children as they go down to their classes, they might come to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, you guys can go downstairs. Children are released to their classes at this time. The Sunday school class is meeting upstairs in the couches room as well. Oh, the high school Sunday school class.
The Old Testament reading today is from Psalm 107, 1 to 9. And it's an exhortation to our Lord from the people of Israel who have been dispersed because of the Assyrian assault and Babylonian. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and the hungry, he fills with good things. The New Testament lesson is from Mark 2, 1 to 12, and this is about Jesus healing a paralytic. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up and take your mat and walk? But so, and that is the end, sorry. People, thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is the word of the Lord. Sorry, buddy.
That's okay.
Good morning. We are continuing today with our sermon series called Crossing the Threshold. We are looking this month at four different thresholds that God is inviting us to cross over here in this new year. Last week, we talked about moving from the past into the future. And this week, the threshold we are looking at is crossing from isolation into community. From isolation into community. You see, one of the core truths of the Christian faith is summed up by what God says in Genesis about Adam. It is not good for man to be alone. And we could add, it is not good for woman to be alone either. From the very beginning, God has formed us as human beings for to be deeply connected, to be in relationship and community with other people. And this might seem like kind of an obvious point to you. You know, we might look around at the normal order of things with families and schools, professional networks, neighborhood associations, running clubs, playgroups, churches, and more. It seems like there are all kinds of ways in which we are already connected with other people. It may even appear that community is just the natural and obvious extension of being human, of being alive. But what I want to suggest to you today is that although we have this deep God-given need for community, and although it seems like there are opportunities for community all around us, that in fact we often live not in community, but in isolation. As a starting point today, I want to suggest that you and I, in some ways, are isolated. We are cut off. We are separated somehow from the life that God intends for us with our neighbors and with God. One of the most common complaints that I hear from people when they move into a new community is, it's so hard to meet people. When relationships go bad, we sometimes hear that, well, we just grew apart. apart. When teenagers talk about their experience and the angst that only teenagers can experience, they will often say, "Nobody understands me." These are all expressions of isolation. Being wheeled into surgery or chemo treatments, battling depression or addiction, anger or grief, it seems that rather than deep community being the easy and natural outgrowth of being human, our experience is just the opposite. We find ourselves stuck and isolated, physically, emotionally, socially, even spiritually. And true community, the kind of caring connectivity that we long to experience, is so hard to find. So this is the threshold that we are talking about today as we hear this powerful story from Scripture. And as we reflect on the stories of our lives, I think God has something to say to each one of us today. And as we begin, let's pray. Oh God, beyond all praising, we worship you today. We sit at your feet and seek a word from you. Oh God, give us ears to hear and give me your word to speak to your community of faith gathered this day. Amen. There was a buzz in the air because Jesus was coming to town. No, I'm not talking about football Jesus. This isn't Tim Tebow or Tom Brady or any of the rest of them. Actually, I thought you might appreciate this. I came across this picture this week. I don't know if you can see it, but it says, "Can you handle some bad news, Timmy?" Well, okay, that's for the football fans among us. Cut that one out. I'm not going to talk about that today. What I want to talk about is the real Jesus, that preacher and teacher and healer that we heard about in our Bible story today. He came to town, and it was a one-day-only kind of engagement, so everybody wanted to be there. And the house where he was speaking quickly filled up with people to capacity, to overcapacity. They spilled out the front door and filled up the front yard of the house. And there was a man in town who, like everybody else, wanted to go and see Jesus. But the problem was he couldn't, because he was paralyzed. He couldn't move around on his own. Consider the life situation of this man from our story. He couldn't do the things that other people could do, like walk, for example, or run, or cook for himself, or have a job, or clean himself, or do whatever he wanted to do. In the ancient world, a person like this paralytic ended up living as beggars on the street, surviving only on the handouts of people who were passing by. This was a man who experienced deep isolation in his life. He was isolated physically, stuck on that mat, unable to move off of it. But not only that, the man in our story was also isolated spiritually. In ancient Israel, people interpreted physical deformities and skin diseases and sometimes even the common cold as a sign of God's displeasure. And so for this man to have this debilitating physical condition, it was a sign to all those who saw it that this man was separated by sin, that he was isolated from God. We remember the story of that man who was born blind in Scripture, and the question that was asked about him was, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? This was the mindset of people in those days. So you can imagine the way people must have treated this man and talked about him. He was physically and spiritually and even socially isolated. Except, as Presbyterian pastor John Ortberg points out, this man did have one important thing going for him. He had amazing friends. He was part of one of the killer small groups of all time. And it's these friends who make the story happen. It's these friends who help him cross over the threshold from isolation in his life into new community. These friends bring him to Jesus. Only when they arrive at the house, they can't get inside because of all those people. Remember, it was those spiritual people who had arrived early, had gotten there first, and had taken up all the seats. They weren't about to move over for this guy. But if anybody needed to get close to Jesus, it was this paralytic. and yet nobody offers to give him their seat. Nobody says, let him through. Everybody is focused on their own needs, putting themselves first ahead of anybody else. And this seems like the opposite of community. This is isolation. Only unlike the paralytic, whose isolation is something that anybody could see because of this physical problem, these spiritual people who are inside the house are isolated in a different way. They've got stuff going on in their lives, too, isolating them from God and from others, but the difference is that they were really good at hiding it. They kept it under wraps. Inside, not outside. Invisible, not visible. They were good at hiding their sins. Does it sound like anyone you know? So both the paralytic and the spiritual people inside are both isolated in their own ways. But the paralytic doesn't stay that way because he's got friends, and his friends have an idea, a crazy idea. They carry him up onto the roof of the house, and they start digging their way through the roof. This didn't take a jackhammer or anything like that. Roofs in those days were built out of wooden crossbeams with then filler material or even earth and sod stuffed in between. So it didn't take too long before they had dug a full hole big enough to pass their friend through, and they lowered him by ropes down into the room all the way to Jesus. And this is one of the marks of great community. Not only do these guys care enough to help their friend, but they are willing to take a risk together and to do something kind of crazy. This is a picture for us about what deep community looks like. I wonder if you have this experience in your own life. As you hear this story, where do you experience something like this? Where people can recognize and carry each other's burdens. Where you can take risks together. Where you can do something fun and even a little crazy sometimes. Great families have this quality. Great groups of friends are this way. Great churches are called to be like this. There's a quote from Henry Nouwen that I really love, and it says, if we want to have all of our bases covered before we act, nothing exciting will happen. But if we dare to take a few crazy risks because God asks us to do so, many doors that we didn't know existed will be opened for us. Many doors, and maybe even skylights, that we didn't know existed will be opened for us. You know, when those friends were dangling their buddy down by the ropes through the hole in the roof, Jesus looked, and it says when he saw their faith, when Jesus saw the faith of those friends, he told the man in question, your sins are forgiven. Later he said, stand up, take your mat, and walk. This paralytic who had experienced so much separation, both physically and spiritually, had now crossed over from isolation, stuck on his mat, into community with the four friends above him, and with Jesus at its center. You know, it was with those friends that this man was able to show his need and to let someone else carry his burden. It's with his friends that he comes to see Jesus. And it's with his friends in that little community that they form that he finally experiences the wholeness and healing from God. His good is tied up with their good, and their faith impacts his life. But the scribes don't like it. That's another word for those religious, spiritual people inside. They see what is happening here, and they say, Jesus, that's not right. He should have waited in line like everybody else. He should have been like us, good enough to get here on time. And that's kind of separation talking. Because what they're really saying is he should have been strong enough or good enough or holy enough to do this on his own. But friends, here's the truth. None of us are strong enough or good enough or holy enough to do this on our own. In fact, we're not even made to do this on our own. We are made to do this together. That's why God gave us a church. That's why God gave us each other. Amen? You know, we all experience the pain of isolation sometimes. And I wonder for you today, what's your isolation? What's that part of your life that keeps you separated or cut off? Maybe it's a health issue for you or a loved one. Maybe it's long-term unemployment or worry about your job. Maybe it's an old hurt that won't go away, or the bitterness of a relationship that's not quite right, or a persistent sin you can't shake, or something else known only to you. What is the part of you that keeps you apart? John Ortberg writes in his excellent work on this story that the mat that this paralytic was sitting on is somehow symbolized his isolation. He says, this mat, which according to society should have created a gulf between him and them, became an opportunity for servanthood and acceptance. The paralytic was not the only one in this story who had a mat. His mat, his issues, his isolation were just more obvious for other people to see. But as Ortberg says, we all have our mats. What's yours? Some of us have mats that are less obvious for people to see, others more so. But God can use that. You know, the story, the basic trajectory of the story is that there's a paralytic and some friends bring him to Jesus and he is healed. But there's another story I want to tell you about another paralytic. And this wasn't somebody who lived 2,000 years ago. He's alive right now. He's here in the front row. And his name is Rolf. Rolf has had medical, physical problems his whole life long. He doesn't sit on a mat, he sits in a chair. And he doesn't have four friends who carry him around. He has one friend who pushes him in that chair, who drives him in a special van, brings him up the elevator, wheels him all the way here every Sunday to be with Jesus. But God works in our weakness in surprising ways. Because while all these years people have been bringing Rolf to church, bringing Rolf to Jesus, here's the twist. It turns out that Rolf has been bringing them to Jesus. You know, through the years we have noticed a stream of Rolf's friends and coworkers, people who've worked with him, who have come after the job is over to become part of our congregation, to worship with us, to join with us, to circle around Jesus with us. God works in this surprising way. God flips it upside down. Where we thought we were strong, bringing others in, it turns out we're weak. We're being brought. Or in our weakness, God is using that to bring others, to join us together. God uses Rolf's isolation for the kingdom. God can use you, broken, weak, foolish as you are, and as I am. God uses us and asks us this day to cross over. Maybe for the first time, or maybe again and again, to cross over from depending on ourselves or being caught up in our sins or being cut off from something that by something that happened to us. To cross over from that into a life of deeper community. Whatever your life situation is this day, hear this message. Whether you're dangling by ropes or sitting comfortably in your pew. Brother, sister, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. Cross over from the pain of isolation into the beauty and the risk, the hope and the love of community with Christ and with one another. Amen.
Let us stand and read the affirmation of faith. To be reconciled to God is to be sent into the world as his reconciling community. This community, the Church Universal, is entrusted with God's message of reconciliation and shares the labor of healing the enemies which separate people from God and from each other. Christ has called the Church to this mission and given it the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Church maintains continuity with the apostles and with Israel by faithful obedience to this call. On this weekend, and particularly this day, as we celebrate our prophet of modern times, Martin Luther King, let us give generously to our tithes and offerings.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the needs of my heart. Shadow dispelling with joy, I'm telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heavens came down and glory filled my soul. And now the cross, my Savior, make me whole. My sins were washed away, and my heart was set today. Heavens came down, and glory filled my soul. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the needs of my heart. Shadow dispelling with joy, I'm telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heavens came down and glory filled my soul. And now the cross, my Savior, make me whole. My sins were washed away, and my heart was set today. Heavens came down, and glory filled my soul. Amen.
Praise God, come, 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 come
Dear Lord, Jesus, Father, as we accept these gifts from you, given back for the work in our church to reach out to this world, Lord, we also thank you for our prophet, Martin Luther King, who gave so much, including his life, to a cause so worthy. And Lord, let us always remember that without hope and faith, there's nothing. And the vision that Martin Luther gave us stands forever and will last forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please remain standing for our final hymn this morning, which is O For a Thousand Tongues to Sing. It's going to be led by the worship band. It'll be projected here in front. Which is good. Render to no one evil for evil, but support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all persons, love, and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of his Spirit. May the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain within you, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Fair enough.
All right. It's great seeing you.